Amen. Thank you, Brother Nathaniel. Heaven will be wonderful and beautiful someday. Amen. Can't wait for that. Take your Bible with me, please, this morning, and go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 13. The book of Matthew and chapter number 13. And I'm glad to see the rain, but I might build an ark this week if this keeps up. Amen. We've gotten a lot of rain. You know, Lord knows what we need. And I talked to the Lord and I said, Lord, why don't you give us some of this rain in August? Amen. And but you know, the Lord knows what he's doing. Amen. And God's going to take care of it. God has a hand in his nature. God has a hand in everything he does. Amen. And thank the Lord. His way's perfect. Matthew chapter 13 this morning. We're going to begin with verse number 24, this passage of scripture. And Jesus is giving his disciple a parable here. And he's trying to teach them something. And we're going to look at this passage this morning. Matthew 13, verse number 24. The Bible says, another parable put he forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. And while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant saith unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for the Bible today. Thank you for the truths in it. Thank you for the songs that we've sung and how they've prepared our hearts in some way to hear your word this morning. And Lord, I pray that you take the word of God and meet every need with it, God. We all have needs here today. And God, you know the need of each heart and the need of each mind. So Father, would you take the truths of the word of God, Lord, and manifest thy truth, Lord, in our mind and in our heart today. I pray for somebody listening online this morning that, Lord, if they don't know you as Savior, they'd be saved and trust you today. And Lord, anyone within the sound of our voice today, God, would you speak to their heart? Help them to find salvation and be truly saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus taught certain things in parables. We even see this in verse 13 that we did not read. We see in verse 13, Jesus said, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not. You know, it's possible to see but see not. They seeing see not. And hearing, they hear not. It's possible to hear, but to not hear. Right? How many wives would say, yeah, my husband's got that problem. Amen? We hear sometimes, but we don't really hear. So Jesus says, if I can take a story, give it an earthly twist, an earthly understanding, it can reveal a heavenly and eternal truth. And that's what Jesus did in this passage that we read this morning. He took a parable. And he said, the kingdom of heaven is like to a man that went out into a field and he sowed good seed. He went to this field, but something happened shortly thereafter. Before the seed that he planted came up, it says that while they were asleep, the enemy came in and he took seeds of some kind and he planted them. Now, I looked up what this seed was, what these tares were, and just tried to study out what a tare was. And the best conclusion I could come up to was that it's part, a seed is a tare is a Dardanelle seed. They call it Dardanelle seed. And it is a poisonous seed. But this poisonous seed has a way of growing off of the nutrients of the good seed. It kind of attaches itself to this seed and it sucks the nutrients out of it and it grows, but the other would probably grow stronger and grow better had that seed not been there. And you know, the man who planted the field knew that. And so all of a sudden, these seeds, both good seed and bad seed, they began to crop up in this man's field. And one of the servants walked into the master and said, "Master, did you get good seed? Are you sure you bought good seed? Are you sure you bought the right kind?" And he said, "Yeah, I got the right seed." He said, "Well, as soon as the blade starts coming up and as soon as the wheat and the tares start coming up, then you begin to see that these seeds were planted." And the master quickly identified where that came from. And he said, "It came from the enemy." Notice, not a enemy. It came from the enemy. And so he said, "What are we going to do about this? You planted good seed, and these seeds are sucking the nutrients and the life off of the good seed. Should we just pull everything up and replant?" And the master wisely looked at the servant, and he said, "No." He said, "Let them both grow up together. Let them both grow up together. And when the harvest is ready, we're going to come in and we're going to harvest both the tares and the wheat. But when the harvest comes, we're going to separate the bundles of the wheat from the bundles of the tares. And we're going to take those tares and we're going to burn those tares." Now, Jesus is teaching us through a parable something of eternal truth. There's a class in Bible college called hermeneutics. And hermeneutics teaches us how to rightly divide a passage of Scripture and the understanding of a passage of Scripture. And so when you look at a passage of Scripture like this, you have to understand, what is God truly trying to say? What is he trying to teach? And one of the laws of hermeneutics is, if there is no other obvious truth answer in context, then it must be the context in which the story is given. So this passage of Scripture looks at this. And when we look at this passage of Scripture, we have to see, what is God trying to say to us? And to me, there is no obvious other conclusion that can be drawn from this passage of Scripture than that God is teaching us something about eternity and eternal truth and how God looks at his harvest field. I want you to notice today some things about the passage that we're going to look at. I want you to notice, number one, is the problem that happened in the field. Notice the farmer, he went through and he planted good seed. How many ever planted a garden? You got a garden? If you don't know how to plant a garden, see Miss Andrea down here. She knows how to plant a garden. She's passing out bags of vegetables, amen? But man, if you don't know how to plant a garden, I'll tell you what. It seems like sometimes some things you can put in the ground and water and they never grow. And then some things you put in the ground and forget. And they flourish. I don't know why that happens. My green thumb is pretty brown. It doesn't really work. But this farmer, he went to this field. He didn't have bad seed. He had good seed. He chose the right seed. And seed, according to the context of the whole chapter, is the Word of God. The Word of God is the seed. And he takes that seed, he plants it in the ground. He plants good seed, and good seed comes up, and he's expecting good fruit. When you plant good seed, you can expect good fruit. Amen. Can I tell you, that is the Word of God. When you take the Word of God in its truth, and you plant it in the hearts of lost people, and you plant the Word of God, it can grow and it can flourish. Boy, I believe in getting the Word of God to the world, getting it to our city, our town, our nation. Just get it out. Spread the good seed. Charles Spurgeon used to preach on a leaky seed basket of a man who bought a bag of seed and it had a hole in it. And everywhere he went, that seed was being spread. Can I tell you, that's what we ought to do? We ought to spread the gospel. I appreciate what Brother Meyer said, and I thank God for people who get the scriptures out. We need to get the Word of God to the whole world. There are people who in this world who take a Bible, they cherish that Bible. They love it. Some people in this world, you give them a Bible, it is their most prized possession. Thank God that the seed has that power in the lives of people. Thank God what that seed of the Word of God did in your heart the day you got saved. And so this master here, he's planting good seed and he's expecting good things to come up. And by the way, when you plant seed, God's seed, you can expect good things to happen. Amen. But one thing happened. The problem of the field was that not that the seed wasn't there, but that the enemy slipped in. Oh, can I tell you, that enemy is out there. And his goal is to suck the nutrients out of the seeds. He is trying to take that which is full of life and suck off the nutrients in the life. And can I tell you, that old devil sure loves to do that. He loves to come to a person who's just got saved and they're trying to sprout up. They're trying to grow, and the devil loves to put a seed right there and some seed to just suck the nutrients out, and before long he's defeated and discouraged and you never see him back in church. Can I tell you what that is? That is the devil. The devil does that. He comes to the person who's been saved, and by the way, he never quits. No matter how much you've grown in the Lord, that old devil is going to try to suck the nutrients out of your life. But hear me, how does that still grow? How does that wheat still grow in the ground? I'll tell you how it grows, because it's still planted in the good soil of the Word of God. You may have trials in your life. There may be a satanic attack on you in your life, or somebody that you know. Hear me, you can still grow in the Lord. You can still become strong. There may be some challenge or some burden on your heart, and you just want to give up. Don't give up. You're planted in the good soil. There's still plenty of good soil for you to grow in. Still plenty of good things for you to grow. Don't quit on God. Amen. Don't quit. No matter what you're going through, remember something. The old devil is after us. We have to stay in the soil of the Word of God and stay strong. Boy, there's plenty of nutrients down in that soil. Plenty of nutrients. So the old devil came in and he crept in and he planted these seeds called tares while they were asleep. And by the way, can I tell you, when we are spiritually asleep, this is Satan's ground. I'll promise you, the devil will work in our lives greater when we've just kind of fallen spiritually asleep. When we sat back and comfortable, eat, drink and be merry. Take our ease, eat, drink and be merry. You better watch out, because that old devil's after you. The Bible says that he is as a roaring lion. seeking whom he may devour. Do you know why he wants to devour God's people so much? I'll tell you why. Because if your life brings honor and glory to God, even through the afflictions that you go through, if your life brings honor and glory to God, I want to tell you something. The devil doesn't like it when God is glorified and honored. I thank God for people who have had lifelong burdens and carried lifelong troubles through them, but they just keep growing in God. They just keep growing. Thank God they're planted in the right soil. Hey, dear friend, the only thing the devil can do to destroy you is to get you away from the soil. If he can pull you out of the soil, then you're going to be in trouble. Then your life will be messed up. I think he's talking that sometimes there are some that come, even in a church, and they are not saved. They may look saved. They may appear saved. But can I tell you, God knows the heart, and only God knows the heart. Salvation is not based on whether or not you come to church and wear a tie or not. Salvation is not based on your status in life or how good of a person you are. Salvation is not based on any of that. God looketh on the heart. God knows the true heart. And you know, I want to tell you something, that there will be some who come along to you in your salvation, and they'll say, oh, you don't need that old-fashioned salvation. You don't need that ground. You don't need to be planted in that soil. And all they're doing is sucking the life out of you so that they themselves can gain some strength, some nutrient off of you in your life. Hey, I want to tell you something. The old devil, he can work like that. He's deceptive. The old devil's full of deception. I like what Abraham Lincoln said about deception. One day there was a committee that went to Abraham Lincoln, and they set forth a matter, and they said this case was built up largely on suppositions. And after listening for a while, Lincoln asked them, he said, how many legs would a sheep have if you called it a tail a leg? As he expected, they probably answered 5. No, Lincoln said, it wouldn't. It would only have 4. Calling a tail a leg does not make it a leg. Amen. I want to say to you today, calling somebody good doesn't really make them good. That may surprise some. But you know what? A good man went to the Lord Jesus Christ one day and he said, Master, what may I do to inherit eternal life? And when Jesus told him, he walked away sad. You see, salvation is not based in goodness. Salvation is based on faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's based on. And you know, sometimes even in a church or sometimes in a family, there'll be somebody who may appear saved. They may look saved. They may say all the words. They may walk the right same walk. They may even do good things. But hear me today. If you haven't been saved by faith through grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not saved. You're not saved. You need to be saved the Lord's way. It's not religion that can save. It's not confessing sin to a priest that can save you. There's only one thing can save you, and that is one person can save you, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that blood that was shed on the Calvary, that blood is plenty enough payment to pay for your sins. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I say to you today that there can be a deception sometimes in our world, and that is Satan who's put tares there. There are false prophets that walk around in this world. The Bible says that they are looking to please themselves, not God. I tell you, there's a lot of false deceivers in this world. They may have big crowds, they may have big things, but let me tell you something. Hear me. Sometimes they're just tares in the wheat. We have to be careful of that. because there is one true and living way that God tells us to live our life. The tares are lost. And you know, sometimes you don't see that tare until the Lord puts the pressure on them to be saved. And I've seen people where the Lord puts the Holy Spirit comes in and works on them to try to get them saved. And boy, they fight God and reject God. And boy, you see it come out. May I tell you that if you're here today and you're making a profession that you know Christ, but you've never been saved in the blood of Jesus Christ, I want to tell you something. You need to be saved and trust Jesus Christ and put your faith in him before it's too late. Lost man. You know, a lot of people come close to the Lord. A lot of people come close, but they don't quite get there. Herod Agrippa said, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He almost got there, but he wasn't. There's a story of a young man who, he was 22 years old. He went to Chicago, and he went to the Sherman Hotel in Chicago. He signed in, and he went out to take a walk. But as he walked, he became lost in the concrete jungles. He looked up and all the buildings seemed the same, and he didn't know where to turn. He forgot the name, the location, and the appearance of the hotel. He was unable to find it. It was necessary to secure another room, and he selected one at a different hotel. Then, unwilling to acknowledge to the authorities that he was lost, for 5 days, he tried to find the place where he had deposited his baggage. Unsuccessful in his attempts, he had to appeal to the police, as his time was limited and his belongings valuable. The police soon found his original registration and informed him that for 5 days he'd been living right next door to the place where he had left his baggage. Although so near, he lost 5 days' peace of mind, 5 days of time, and 5 days use of his luggage, all because he would not tell somebody that he was lost. How many people in this world are lost? They're lost. But they're afraid to tell somebody that they're lost. They're afraid to declare that they do not really know Christ. They're afraid of what people think. They're afraid of what someone might say. And they spend eternity in a Christless hell away from God. How sad when the remedy has already been given to us. There is no need to be lost. There's no need to be a tare that sucks the life out of somebody else. God wants the tare to repent and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved and know him. A pastor told me several years ago, he said he had a man in his church, very good man, a very godly man, he thought. He pastored this church many years and he's still pastoring. He said that man came to him after 25 years of being in his church. And he said, I've been fooling people all along. He said, I'm not saved. I need to get saved. And thank God that man gloriously got saved. Amen. Now, God isn't trying to make us doubt once we know. Amen. Don't live in doubt. If you're saved, be settled and joyful. But may I tell you what? Sometimes we are in the same ground and as those who are growing up healthy. Sometimes there's bad seed in a person and they're sucking the nutrients off of the real ones. Can I remind you today that only those in Christ are the saved? Only those in Christ are the saved. You see, it's not the bad seed. It's not the deception of the field. There's a deception there. You know, the devil is not short of deceiving. Deception. There's a lot of things going on in this world, and a lot of people teaching a lot of ideas. There's so many false ideas out there. Can I tell you, there's a lot of anything that teaches you, you have to work your way to heaven. You know, that is a slam in the face of God, because he already did the finished work. He already finished the work. You can't get into heaven by good works. See, good works come out of a heart of love after you're saved. Good works come from this desire to return to God something because of the goodness that he has put in us in salvation. Amen. That's what it is. But hear me today. You have to truly, truly be saved in the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you today, second, there is a love for the wheat. There's a love for the wheat. Notice what the master said here. Verse 29. They came to him and they said, verse 28, yes, he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay. Lest while you gather up the tares, you root up the wheat also, the wheat with them. You see, God loves the wheat so much that he's not willing to even remove the tare so that the wheat can continue to grow. God loves the wheat. This is a picture of the true salvation of a soul. And God says, I love that soul so much that even if there is a tear on it, even if there's a tear in that field, I don't want to ruin it. I want him to flourish and grow and do well in the Lord. As long as you're planted in the right soil, you can do well. But God loves the wheat. Imagine people who live in this world. Imagine, if you will, people outside of the borders of this country. Imagine lost people, no hope, no help. They trust in some false religion, some man-made idea. But they're not trusting the true Christ. You know, God loves them, and God wants people to go to them and tell them how to be saved. That is the love that God has for the wheat. Destroy it. Don't pull up the tare, because if you pull up the tare, it may destroy the wheat. You see how much God really loves the wheat? See how much God really cares about his people? You know, this may surprise you, but, you know, the devil's the prince of the power of the air, and he does a lot of work, and he does a lot of evil things in this world today. But God says, as long as I can get some wheat, even if he does some things in this world. And God's not saying it's okay for the devil to do those things. That's not the point. The point is his love for the wheat, his love for that soul that needs to get saved. That is where God's focus is. And that's where our focus should be. Could I tell you, sometimes a Christian, though, who's truly saved, some tare will get next to him and suck out his nutrients. And may I tell you what? Before long, they're out of church. They're away from God. And you know, for a while, they do okay because of the principles that were in them from church. But after a while, the world's principles begin to take over in their heart and their life. And they begin to get confused and messed up in their life. Saved, yes. But that old devil put a tear there. Can I tell you, don't ever let that happen to you. Don't ever let that happen to you. Just keep on plodding along, serving the Lord Jesus till the day you die. Don't let anyone or anything discourage you. Don't let any deception take you away from the good soil by which you can grow. Don't let anything in this world steal something from you that would allow you to do well and serve the Lord until the day you die. Just don't let it happen. Don't let it happen. Allow God to take you and keep you growing strong in the Lord until the day comes when you can handle tests, even like Job handled, and say, the Lord took away, but the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You see, that's where God wants us to grow to. God wants us to become strong Christians, not weak. Not allowing the deceptions of the world and of the ungodly and the false ideas in the world to have an effect on us, but allowing His Word to have the greatest input in our life. Is that you, Christian? Is that depicting of your life? Are you strong in the Lord? Is your life truly what God wants it to be? Somebody wrote this things, nine things God won't ask you when you get to heaven. Number one, God won't ask you what kind of car you drove. He'll ask you how many people you drove who didn't have transportation. He won't ask you the square footage of your house. He'll ask you how many people were welcomed into your house. He won't ask you the clothes you had in your closet. He'll ask you how many you helped to clothe. God won't ask you what your highest salary was. He'll ask you if you compromised your character to obtain it. God won't ask you what your job title was. He'll ask you if you performed your job to the best of your ability. God won't ask how many friends you had. He'll ask how many people to whom you were a friend. God won't ask in what neighborhood you lived. He'll ask you how you treated your neighbors. God won't ask you about the color of your skin. He'll ask you about the content of your character. God won't ask why it took you so long to seek salvation. He'll lovingly take you to your mansion in heaven and not go to the gates of hell if you've trusted Him by faith. I say to you today that in this world, we want to faithfully live for Christ, but we must avoid the danger of the tares if we're going to keep growing in Christ. And Christian, hear me today. Just stay in the Word. Stay under the Word. Just stay there till the day you die, because that Word dwells in us richly in all wisdom. Oh, listen. What the Word of God does in our life can change. Oh, and everyone I know that has ever lived for the Lord has gone through some trouble that maybe took some nutrient or some person that tried to dissuade them away from serving the Lord. Someone who was sent by that old devil to discourage, to defeat, to bring a person down through his deception. Let me say to you today, if you'll just stay in good ground and stay solid in the Lord Jesus Christ, He will bless your life in a wonderful way. Years ago, a preacher told me this quote, and I never forgot it. He said, I'm not just thankful for the blessings that God has given me in life, but I want to see the future blessings that God will give me in life. And you know what? God will give us all future blessings if we just stay faithful to Him. Stay in the Word, Christian. Stay in church. Don't let anyone dissuade you or push you away. Don't let a negative thing hit you wrongly and say, that's it, I'm quitting, I'm giving up. Don't let some test or some trial or some impatience of another person cause you to feel like quitting and giving up. Oh no. Because you see, in the end, God takes these bundles of tares. And you know what? In the end, God knows who really is the tare. Do you know that? God says, separate the tares from the wheat. And God takes that wheat And it's so precious to him. But God also takes those tares. And you know what he said? He said, we burn those tares. Now, I believe, and you may disagree, but I believe that's a picture of hell right there. God says those tares who never truly were saved, God's going to bundle them up. They're going to be burnt in a fire forever and ever. You say, I don't believe in hell. That won't make it go away.
Amen.
You say, I wish it wasn't there. So do I, but it is.
Right.
Bible talks even more about hell than it does heaven. It's a fact. It's a spiritual fact. Because sin cannot enter into heaven. Sin must be paid for one way or another. Either sin can be paid for under the saving grace of God, or that sin has to be paid for in hell forever and ever. And oh, friend, what's the choice that you're going to make? What choice do you have? There's a judgment day coming. And that day, God will look and judge us by his word. And if we're not saved, he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. Those are sobering words, but true words. Words that must reach to the depths of our heart so that we know that it's settled, our salvation is settled between us and God. So is your salvation settled this morning? Do you know that you're saved? Oh, can I tell you again, doubt, there's no need for doubt. If you've been saved and trust in Christ, no need for doubt. It's forever settled. But if you're here today and you've never really genuinely trusted Christ, or you're trusting some false idea, can I tell you what? Today is the day you ought to trust Christ and genuinely open your heart to him and be saved and miss that eternal hell forever and ever that God said in his word. Would you trust him today? Let's bow our heads this morning. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning. I wonder, first of all, do you know Christ as your Savior? If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I know if I died today, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I've trusted Christ.